We haven't done a show together in a while.
It's been a while.
It has been.
You're listening to JD and Tammy Rucker as we deliver the NOQ report, or as we like to call it, the NOQ report. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and enjoy.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the NOQ report and the NOQ report. I'm your host, JD Rucker, and I am not, unfortunately, I am not joined once again today by my lovely, brilliant, talented, infinitely more interesting in most cases, co-host and wife, Tammy. She is still out of state, still visiting family, so we'll take it. We'll try to run it solo. We'll try to get this all figured out. So there's a whole lot going on. Obviously, it's been a crazy week. Every week for what, I don't know, the entirety of 2020 has been absolutely insane. This week has not been any different. A lot of you may notice that this particular show is going on a lot later than normal. I have been reading and reading and reading and reading and reading. And reading and reading. There have been more amicus briefs filed regarding the Texas lawsuit and amicus briefs of note than pretty much any other lawsuit I've ever examined. And it's pretty telling. Oh, President-elect Stella Yanarella says, I'm going to tell you right now, I can't deal with trolls tonight. I don't think there's going to be many. You know, one thing that I did notice, we noticed it yesterday's show. And normally, generally speaking, between Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Periscope, comments on articles, we get dozens of trolls that come on here. And it's an important thing that we notice them because it does give us insight into what they're thinking and gives us an opportunity to hopefully correct their thinking. If they're just coming here to troll, chances are that won't happen. But some people are actually earnestly coming to understand the perspective from the right. The perspective, I shouldn't even say it's not just about left and right. The perspective of those who look at the situation, who believe that with zero doubt there was massive voter fraud that went on, and who support what's happening in the legal system and the state legislators, in these various hearings in the states. You know, we're active. We're doing what we can to spread the word. A couple of quick housekeeping notes that I should throw out there. Number one, you know, this show is driven by, obviously, you guys, the subscribers, people who watch the shows. Well, we're doing very well on Facebook, extraordinarily well on Apple Podcasts. We could always use more subscribers there because that's how they base their ranking algorithms. You know, when we move up or down in Apple, it's not based on the thousands or tens of thousands or however many people are listening to it. It's based solely on new subscribers in a 7-day period. I know that's odd, but hey, you know, they're Apple. They're obviously smarter than I am. They can figure this stuff out. So if you do listen on Apple Podcasts, please subscribe. You can always follow us, facebook.com/freedomfirstnetwork. Same thing with YouTube. On Twitter, it's twitter.com/freedomfirstnet. Even though that's where our Periscope is attached in this particular episode, and for the last 2 weeks has been attached to the NOQ report, twitter.com/NOQ report, Periscope and Twitter accounts, simply because Periscope apparently didn't like something that we said a couple of weeks ago, and we haven't been able to stream there ever since. So be it. No, we're not going to be talking about tech censorship today. We are instead going to be talking about this narrative that has formed. It's been around for the last 3 weeks, but just in the last couple of days, we've seen this narrative expand. This narrative that President Trump and his proxies are trying to overturn the election. They love that word, overturn. They're trying to overturn. You know, I'm waiting for them to bust out with headlines. You know, President Trump is trying to subvert the will of the people in this, that, or the other. As most of my listeners and viewers know, this has nothing to do with trying to subvert the will of the people. We are not trying to overturn the election results or the election itself. That's now the claim. And that's important. I'll explain why here in a minute. It's important that they're saying, you know, trying to overturn the election. But we know that we're not. We know that we see the voter fraud. We're looking to correct this supposedly, you know, finalized result, which it's not finalized. It's not a result. It is still ongoing. And not just in with the Texas lawsuit. There's various lawsuits out there. And, of course, we have not reached December 14th. That's coming along very, very quickly. December 14th is the day that the electors are chosen. And it's an important date, not just because of, you know, obviously from a constitutional perspective, but it also is very important as it pertains to this lawsuit, the Texas lawsuit that has been embraced by several states, even the Pennsylvania legislature came out and embraced it. They said, look, and it was a very good amicus brief. If you only read the introduction, that alone tells you what you need to know. They said, look, we passed Act 77 in 2019 for a reason. We wanted to make sure to expand the ability of people to vote, but we didn't want to do this in a way that could harm election security. And they did pass it. People keep saying that, yeah, there's this misconception that Act 77 had something to do with the coronavirus. Folks, nobody had ever heard of COVID-19 when Act 77 was passed in Pennsylvania. It happened before. It wasn't a reaction. It was there for the sake of, hey, you know, let's make it to where people can vote by absentee ballot, but let's make sure we put in safeguards. It's the safeguards that were obliterated by the executive branch, by the bureaucrats, and eventually by the state Supreme Court. That is what is at issue in Pennsylvania, and that's why the legislators have filed their own amicus brief. Let's see. I'm not even going to address that particular funny trolling there. And Stella notes, the only thing that is constitutional is January 20th. Let's clarify. When I said that December 14th is constitutional, it's not so much that date is constitutional. Okay, she is correct. The only date that is constitutional and not part of section 3 of the code is the actual inauguration date when everything has to be done. And that is January 20th. But the selection of electors is constitutional. That is something that has to be done. There is no date set, though, for that. The reason that I mention December 14th, and we'll be talking about it a lot, is because I think it was a mistake to do so. I understand why they were doing it, but in the Texas lawsuit, they said, look, if we don't get an expansion or a delay or whatever beyond December 14th, then that pretty much sets it in stone. This is in the lawsuit, you know, and I understand why, because they're trying to make it pressing. They're trying to impart upon the court that they must act before December 14th. And then in the following sentence, I believe in paragraph 3, if I recall, I read Lynn Woods. I read the 106 Republicans in Congress. They filed an amicus brief. I read Steve Bullock's. He is the governor of Montana. He's filed his late, and you know his state is participating. He is not. And I hate to say it, but he makes a very good point. Now, I will likely cover that later. I don't want this show to be specifically about, okay, so here's what the case is saying, and here's what they're saying. And I want it to be a lot more focused on the narrative. And the answer to Johnson's question, are you reading comments? I read them as best as I can. So again, these are flying in from four different venues all at once. So you might see some on Periscope, you might see some on Facebook or wherever. I get them in one nice little stream on my computer. So yes, I do read as many of them as I can. Good stuff. They keep saying overturn. All the media is saying it. Democrats are saying it. Every press release. It's one of those, you know, I think we've all seen those videos where mainstream media repeats itself. It's as if they're getting a, you know, talking points from on high. You know, Prince of Darkness is saying, say this. This is one of those things. They want the word overturned embedded in their brains. And this is part of the plan. Part of their plan is to utilize propaganda. Okay. And utilize this scare word. It is a scary word. I mean, the word overturned is generally a violent act. You know, a car that gets into a wreck can be overturned. Nothing is getting overturned here. Nothing has been finalized. Nothing has been even declared except by the press themselves. So it's not overturning anything. We're trying to correct it. And that is the gist of the lawsuit itself. Okay, if we break down the lawsuit to what it's saying, people keep saying that it's trying to overturn. No, all it's saying is there's a lot of irregularities. There's a lot of constitutional questions that are not being answered. And by golly, you know, delay the selection of the electors so that we can figure this out. That's all it's saying. It's not saying you need to the Supreme Court needs to tell all of these states, these four states, that they have to send their electors for President Trump. It's not overturning anything. What it's trying to do is say, hold off on selecting electors until we can figure this out. There are active investigations. There are mountains of evidence coming in daily. Daily. And yet, everybody on the left, mainstream media, big tech, Democrats, they're assuming the sale. They're being the ultimate salesman, the ultimate con man. It's like, okay, so the election's done. And so we're going to do, you know, the Joe Biden president-elect, you know, here's his cabinet. And oh, you know, oh, there's President Trump doing some silly stuff. And it's, you know, there are other words that is probably used more than overturned, a word that is wrongly used. Okay, it is false the way that they're using it. They say President Trump's baseless claims, or Sidney Powell's baseless claims, or Rudy Giuliani's baseless claims. It is literally the exact opposite of what they're saying. When something is baseless, it means that it's categorically prima facie false. Okay, there's no reason for anybody to believe that. That's wrong. Okay, there are over 1,000 affidavits, sworn affidavits, under the penalty of perjury that people have filed. That is not baseless. Okay. Baseless was Russian collusion. You never heard them saying, oh, you know, the baseless claims of the Steele dossier. I mean, they were just like, holy cow, you know, you guys, there's a P tape somewhere. You guys need to find the P tape. It's gaslighting, folks. It's all they're doing. They're gaslighting. They are trying to make you and me think that we're crazy for listening to these thousands of eyewitnesses, for watching the Georgia video and saying, yeah, that's voter fraud. I mean, look, she's right there. Okay. She takes the stack. She counts it. Okay. And then when it's done, she pulls it out from the bottom of the machine and she puts it back up at the top and she counts it again. Okay. Yeah. So there it is. That's voter fraud. Very clear. There's no reason to do that. To count us in a stack over and over and over and over and over again. It's not baseless. You might say that you disagree with them. You might say that it's not enough. You could say, oh, you know, there's likely voter fraud, but it wasn't so much voter fraud that it could overturn the election. You could say all those things and you could be sincere about them. But when mainstream media or Democrats refer to baseless claims of the president and his proxies trying to overturn the election, they are flat out lying to you, or they're stupid. Okay, those are the only two options. Either they don't understand the words that they're saying. Clearly, you don't know what baseless means if you say that something that has obvious base for obvious reasoning behind it is baseless. You could say you disagree, but you can't say it's baseless, and you can't say anything's being overturned because nothing is being overturned here. We're trying to correct the election results, make them lawful, make them righteous. We're not trying to subvert the will of the people. We're trying to allow the will of the people to come through. There's a very clear distinction there. And we have the truth on our side. I mean, that's all there is to it. Again, I'm not saying categorically that there was enough evidence. There was enough voter fraud to overturn. I'm certain there was, but I'm not even saying that. I'm saying just as the Texas lawsuit is saying, guys, slow down. Okay. We've got time. What is the big rush? If anything, Democrats, if they really think, okay, so we won, there was no voter fraud. Great. Then slow down, work with us to investigate these claims and prove them wrong. Prove that, oh, okay. So this claim of voter fraud is incorrect. And this one is incorrect. And that one's incorrect. And that one's false. And that person lied. And this person doesn't know what they're doing. And this video is misconstrued and this, that, and the other. Okay. You can do that. And it would behoove you to do that, because if Joe Biden truly wants unity, as he continues to claim, then the best way to do it is to prove that he is not a bogus president, that he did not cheat the system, as he's being accused of by millions of Americans. The same people that were saying, oh my gosh, you know, they wore the shirts, not my president for 4 years. They're saying, guys, just accept that Joe Biden's your president, okay? We have exponentially more reason to believe that Joe Biden is not our lawfully elected president than you guys had for the last 4 years. And you complained like whiny little. That's probably my cue to go to the chat. CJM Anonymous Troll says, where I'm from, you have to prove what you say is true. Allegations are not proof. Great. Okay. So look at the proof. People say, where's the proof? It's everywhere. Look at the proof. Okay. If you're going to come on my show and complain about, you know, saying that you have to prove it, okay, look at the proof. The proof is there. Read the affidavits. I have. Okay. Just, and I want to be clear. I have to say this every couple of shows. Okay. Just like in 2018, when there was voter fraud, I said, there's voter fraud. This is clear. This is apparent. The Supreme Court needs to overturn this election in North Carolina because there was voter fraud. That was against the Republicans. This is not about, you know, oh, I'm rooting for the home team. I'm an independent. Okay. I am an independent. And just as I called for the overturning of the election in 2018 rather, in North Carolina, based upon clear evidence of voter fraud, I'm doing the same now. And guess what? Here's the thing. The evidence that the Supreme Court used to overturn the election in 2018, there is somewhere, I would say somewhere around maybe 150 times, maybe as much as 200 times more credible evidence of voter fraud now than there was back then. If you say think that there's no voter fraud, you've looked at the evidence and you come to the conclusion that there's no voter fraud, you know, I'm sorry, but your discernment is off. Again, you could make the argument that, okay, yes, there's voter fraud, but it's not going to overturn 80,000 votes in Pennsylvania. You can make that argument, and you might be right. But don't say, oh, but you got to prove, you got to show the evidence. There is evidence. If you keep saying, where is the evidence or prove it, then you obviously haven't looked. You've taken your head, stuck it in the sand, and said, I don't see any evidence down in the sand. Good question from Dan No. Do you think someone is putting a report together based on the 2018 executive order? I would hope that Ratcliffe is. D&I Ratcliffe. That's kind of what he's referring to. So, I always assume everybody knows everything about everything that we're talking about. 2018 executive order from President Trump about foreign interference in the elections basically calls for an investigation 45 days for reports to be put together within 45 days after the election. That's coming up. It's coming up. We're coming up on 45 days. And the question is, will there be a report? I sure hope. I have not seen any indication. But then again, something like that, that's one of those things where it gets sprung on us a day or two before. Maybe it gets leaked. Okay. And then it gets sprung on us, or we find out when it's actually released. This is not the Mueller investigation where they're going to the Washington Post and saying, hey guys, leak this because we're running out of evidence to try to shake some trees. No, they're going to actually do it like professionals. Okay. Ratcliffe will. So I wouldn't go there. Jesse, so only when the racist loses, there's fraud machines, but not last election. No, there was definitely fraud last election. We've accepted that. There's fraud in literally every election, just nothing even close to this one. Not even close. Yes, there was fraud in the 2016 election, for sure, without a doubt. Did it equate to enough to flip the election? No, and not even the Democrats thought that. But it did. They did think there was enough fraud for them to start investigating ES&S, Dominion. Okay, let's not forget that it was the Democrats, they were holding hearings earlier this year demanding that the CEOs of Dominion, ES&S, and other voting machine companies provide information about how they're making their systems more secure. Amy Klobuchar was hammering them, making demands, just absolutely hammering them. This was Democrat-led. It was. More Republicans should have been involved. They were stupid for not being involved. And we're seeing the results of that stupidity. But something happened. After the January 20th hearing, they started to go a little bit silent, but they were still talking about it. They waited for the information to be sent by these CEOs. Information they actually said after the fact. It's like, yeah, okay, so I said that it wasn't connected to the internet. Actually, we did discover that there's approximately 47% of our machines are still connected to the internet. We'll try to get that fixed. Maybe, maybe not. Okay, but then come March, suddenly the Democrats were like, oh, zip, nobody talk about it. Nobody stop talking about Dominion. Pretend like Dominion doesn't exist. Okay, all you guys, we got this covered. Don't expose Dominion anymore. So to nameless, faceless Jesse in the chat. Yes, there is voter fraud. There was voter fraud. And the Democrats were going after it until after the South Carolina primary, after Joe Biden won it, right around the same time that Deep State came out to endorse him. Okay, Brennan, Rice, Comey, these are former intelligence community people. Why are they coming out to endorse a candidate? Pete Buttigieg, Klobuchar, they all left right prior to Super Tuesday. And buried, hidden within that same week was a very conspicuous withdrawal of all Democrat inquiries into ES&S and Dominion voting systems. So are you saying that we should listen to the Democrats today or the Democrats back then, the ones that were complaining about the 2016 election, or the ones that suddenly said, oh, don't worry, that's already done, let's just focus on this election, we're going to win it no matter what? You know, as Joe Biden said, we put together the most inclusive and diverse voter fraud. He did say that, guys. Brilliant, Jesse. No, you're not. I'm having difficulty reading his. Oh man, is this a kid? I think this is a kid. He's using those, you know, you are, like the letters you are. I think he's a child. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. So we'll stop responding to troll Jesse. Why do you think Barr isn't following up on anything, or do you think he's investigating in secret? I think that Barr, you know, when William Barr was first announced as Attorney General, I cringed because I thought, you know, this guy's history in DC is one of, you know, this guy gets along. Okay. I mean, he really does. And I realized at the time, I gave it sort of a pass because I realized that that's kind of what the president needed. You know, he didn't need somebody to come in and shake things up. He needs somebody who'd been there, done that, and could kind of keep things below the radar, because he, not things as in like investigations or anything, but things like just be politically sound, you know, not stir anything up, not rock the boat before the election. But I still had this feeling that didn't have the interests of the United States at heart. And I still think that. Do I think that he's going to, is he in the process of doing things? I sure hope so, but I'm not banking on it. And I don't even care at this point, because again, we're folks in the civil suits. If and when Barr does anything, it will be for criminal cases. They will hopefully make arrests, but that has no bearing on what's happening in the Supreme Court today. Okay. Nothing. So does something, does nothing. He's all for it. He's all against it. Doesn't, I don't care. All that matters at this point, until we get this election corrected, not overturned, until we get the election corrected, Bill Barr is nothing to me. Okay. No, Chrissy is. So Chrissy Stafford asks, did you listen to the GA hearing today? I did not. I was, again, there was so many darn amicus briefs. It took my day, and then I had to go shopping. Oh, it's crazy. I live out here in California, so it's like an event to go shopping. You know, I have to prepare myself because, you know, you never know what's going to happen. Stacey Barnes. Oh, shut up. You're not doing anything but whining on the internet. Okay. As Stacey Barnes comes on and is whining on the internet. Gotcha. Did you see Pompeo's speech at Georgia Tech? If we have that much information on China, we'll talk about that another day. It's called out Hillary. Oh, yes, I did. So I will read about it, Chrissy. And we'll hopefully maybe talk about it tomorrow. So we will take that from there. I need to get back on track here real quick. Gaslighting. Trolls in the chat, trolls on Facebook, Twitter. You know, they come at you. They tell you they make ad hominem attacks, tell you that you're not intellectually sound enough to be able to control these things. They ask you where the evidence is. They tell you that it's being overturned, that these claims are baseless. They're all baseless, whatever. It's crazy. This is all gaslighting. Okay. For those unfamiliar, gaslighting is essentially it's a psychological act to try to make someone feel that their premise for whatever it is crazy, that they're insane, that they're wrong. You know, example of gaslighting might be, you know, you tell somebody, Hey, you know, why don't you take out the garbage? And, you know, a week later they look and they see that the garbage is still there. And they're like, well, why didn't you take out the garbage? It's like, you never asked me to. It's like, yeah, I did. I asked you to last week. It's like, no, I clearly remember last week. And I'm certain that you didn't tell me to take out the garbage. And they're like, huh, that's weird. I'm pretty sure. No, I promise you didn't. If you had told me to take out the garbage, I would have taken out the garbage. That's how I am. But you didn't tell me to take out the garbage. So that's your fault. That's what they're doing with this. Okay, we're trying to overturn the results of the election. That's not true. That's not the case. We're trying to correct it. Just as the Texas case is trying to put everything on hold until all these investigations can work out. There is no reason, nothing constitutional, that says that we have to elect to name the electors now. It says that we have to select the president now. All this has to be done before January 20th. That is true. That is in the Constitution. The rest of it, you know, like I said earlier, if I were a Democrat, I would be saying, all right, yeah, this evidence is pretty telling. I don't know if there's enough there, but let's find out, because we need to make sure that if we're going to truly heal as a nation, that we don't have, you know, at current latest count or whatever you want to call it. What is it? Survey shows that approximately, I think it's more than this, but according to the survey, it was like 48 million Americans do not believe selection was properly. I mean, it's just, where's the unity in that? People could say they disagree, politically speaking. They disagree with a person's character. That was the argument that a lot of people made against President Trump. And that's valid, because you don't have to agree with each other. But there can be no unity if you think that a president cheated. And if tens of millions of people think that, it would behoove Joe Biden and the Democrats to say, well, let's actually look at this stuff. Instead, they're gaslighting. They're saying that they're trying to overturn the election. They're saying it's all baseless. These are baseless claims. That's not going to win anybody over. It'll win some over, because let's face it, that gaslighting, the reason that people do it is because in many cases it works. Some people are actually going to think that they're crazy for thinking, wow, yeah, I mean, it looks like, I mean, the video shows that there's voter fraud, but, you know, all these people are telling me I'm wrong, so I guess I'm wrong. Okay, there are weak-willed people out there on both sides of the fence. But there's still going to be tens of millions of people who know in our hearts that unless these investigations go through, unless they're able to truly determine the effects, the impact of the voter fraud, which is, again, let's be clear, voter fraud did 100% happen, just as it did 100% happen in 2016, 2018, probably every election before that. The question is how much? And in this particular case, there seems to be such a massive amount. Okay. The people that call me delusional are the same people that say, yeah, Joe Biden was much more popular than Barack Obama by far. Okay. Don't forget, you know, people say, oh yeah, but this time it was going to be closer. No, Biden was way ahead compared to Obama in 2012. And yet he got what, 17 million more votes than Obama's reelection. Give me a break. Come on. Come on. As Joe would say, you guys, you're not that stupid. Okay. You really think that the person who drove the most votes amongst Democrats in the history of the United States, that the woke radical left progressives, that their savior is a very old, straight, Caucasian, rich man who spent nearly five decades harming people, including especially people of color, that's your savior, that's the guy that's going to out inspire you much more so than Barack Obama did. And you call me delusional? Okay, James Davis, you're wrong, of course, gaslighting the American people. Okay, good. If that's your conclusion. Same James Davis. Gosh, I think we do have children. We have maybe teenagers on the chat today. You don't have any evidence. Again, if you stick your head in the sand, you refuse to read over 1,000 affidavits and you refuse to look at the evidence. I mean, if you say there's no evidence, I'm assuming that you have read the case in Texas. Or are you one of those that just say, oh, you know, it's baseless, there is no evidence? Why? Because CNN told me to, you know, I'm a sheep. CNN said it, so it's baseless. There's no evidence. Come on. Okay, I'm done reading the trolls for now, because it's flying in now. They're very good. One thing I will do is take a sip of my coffee. What fantastic coffee that is. You know what kind of coffee that is? It's called Founders Blend. You know where I got the Founders Blend? I went to freedomfirstcoffee.com and I selected, in this case, I got the organic, I got the whole bean dark roast. Man, that's good stuff. It's got a picture of, that's Abraham Lincoln. So, and for the uneducated out there, yes, he was a Republican. I know. Crazy, huh? So, we've handled the gaslighting aspect of it. There's another thing that has to, you know, another important aspect of the use of the word overturn. Okay, again, it's a very specific word that they've used. And overturning something means that something has been finalized, essentially, and now it's being overturned. That's important for them because, again, they're conning you. They're assuming the sale using the old sales technique of saying that, you know, President-elect Biden, okay, and they didn't refer to President-elect Trump until, like, what, a month before Inauguration Day? But they've been calling him President-elect Biden since, like November 7th or something like that. I know I said I wouldn't address the trolls, but that one just popped up in from YouTube. We don't get a whole lot on YouTube. YouTube doesn't like us. Wonder why. GG Gorilla says affidavits aren't the same as evidence according to law. Actually, I probably won't even reply to that because that's just that's an insanely. Whatever. They could be, but not always hold in court. Okay. Well, at least you recovered there at the end. Affidavits aren't the same thing as evidence according to law. Gotcha. This is what we have to deal with, folks. Okay. Trust me, not everybody is just evil when they're pushing for this. Some of them just don't know. Some of them are ignorant. Okay. And this is why we have to, you know, I don't kick anybody out of the chats. I don't kick anybody out of anything. Okay. They try to kick me out again. Like I said, even our Periscope got flagged for something. I'm not sure what. Our YouTube got flagged like last week. Yeah, I'm sure that our days are numbered there. We're going to Rumble. going to Rumble soon. Oh, one quick note. Forgot to mention it. I'm so bad at the promo aspect of this stuff. FreedomFirstCoffee.com. Use promo code NOQ. Thank you. Sorry. You get 10% off. Yes. Gigi Gorilla misspelled. Guys, okay, so it's T-H-E-R-E. It's there. It's like, it's over there. And T-H-E-I-R is there. As in it's there. Their ignorance, you know, that's their ignorance. And T-H-E apostrophe R-E is contraction for they are. Okay. Seeing too much of this today. Their claims are that are their claims. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Gorilla, you were right. I didn't read the whole thing. I thought you were saying their claims, but then I read. So in that case, I'm the dumb one. Gorilla was correct. Grammatically speaking, their claims that are they are claims that are unverified. Courts verify them according to compelling evidence. Right. Exactly. So let's get on to the Supreme Court. Matthew, I always have to, Matthew's great on Facebook. Facebook's been growing for us so wonderfully. And Matthew kind of leads the charge in the comments. Very, very happy about that. An affidavit is admissible evidence, although some courts may require you to testify to the affidavit, or they may consider it hearsay. Since hearsay is not admissible as evidence, your affidavit may not be used for evidence if someone objects to it unless you testify. Thank you. There you go. Okay. So back to the concept of this being overturned. There's another logical fallacy that's coming into play with this. Okay. The whole reason they keep saying president-elect, keep saying the results of the election. Okay. The results of the election are challenged. That's a statement of fact. You might disagree with the merits of the challenges, but they are challenged. Therefore, there's nothing being overturned. It's being examined. It's being questioned. As of now, I have to promote this concept of overturning the election instead of the proper way to say that we are trying to correct it, or we're trying to investigate it, or we're trying to come to the lawful and righteous conclusion, one way or the other. Okay, if they go through, they do all this investigating, and by golly, all the evidence shows that there was voter fraud, which there was, but there wasn't enough to change the results. President Biden, okay, pray for him. I'm okay with that. I'm not okay with it. I'd be very upset by that, but I'll at least accept it, because then it's lawful. But they haven't done that, and they refuse to do it, and they are gaslighting, as I mentioned. But they're also doing something else with their whole push to say that it's being overturned. They're using what's called begging the question. I know, you know, most of the times we hear, you know, and that begs the question, and you're begging the question when you say this. And guys, begging the question, proper use of the actual phrase, it is a logical fallacy that is, you know, very similar to circular reasoning. In other words, when you beg the question, what you're saying is you're assuming a conclusion and using that assumed conclusion as the premise for your argument for the conclusion. That's what begging the question literally means. Again, I know that it's used as well, you know, people trying to sound smart, and gosh, that begs the question. That's not your, that raises the question, okay, or that implies the need to answer this question. But when you say that begs the question, that's not actually that's not what it's doing. Begging the question is a logical fallacy, and that's what they're trying to do when they say that the election results are being overturned, that the election is being overturned. For the election to be overturned, the election has to be done. It is being challenged. So there's nothing to overturn here. It is still being determined. We're just trying to get to the correct results. We're trying to correct what appears to be massive fraudulent attempt at a coup against not just the president, not just the nation, but the Constitution itself. Stop it. The troll comments keep coming. breathe. Don't pay attention to it. Yeah. You know, pick a time, stay focused on what's at hand. Okay. All right. I do have to address this one. This is an important one. And I've kind of skated, you know, yesterday's show, we asked the question, is this the silver bullet? Is the Texas lawsuit, is this the silver bullet that can help President Trump to correctly win the election? And I said, basically, yes, you know, yes and no, but that, and I didn't go into very many details about the no, but I said, yes, because number one, this can potentially delay. It can delay this, the December 14th date for selecting electors. That can happen. And it does take, you know, most importantly, it does take attention away from the other lawsuits that are working their way up through the courts as we speak. And that's important because I think that in many ways, you know, people were starting to lose hope in the lawsuits because they just weren't, something weren't being handled properly. It's just that so much attention was being placed on them that there was undue pressure. Okay. Let the lawsuits work their way through. Okay. This one is already docketed. This one is already getting amicus briefs. Let's let that happen. Okay. Or let's focus on that one. And I'm okay with that because that one's already in, it's already in the can. Now they just got to argue it. Hopefully argue it. Everybody else, you know, using this, the Texas lawsuit is a way to allow the other lawsuits to go through. Lawsuits that, frankly, I think have more merits. Lawsuits that focus less on the actions of the actions of those four states, and more so on the actual voter fraud itself. That's the part that I want to see, and that's, to me, that is the smoking gun. The Texas lawsuit is a legal challenge. It is a legal challenge from a constitutional perspective as to whether the states should have operated their elections in the way they did. It contends that under the guise of COVID-19, they pressed forward with, they established an atmosphere through which voter fraud would be easier. And they established very poor results. Not poor as in, oh, it's the wrong guy won. Poor as in, these ones are not accurate. And so that's the push there. But the question in the chat that I have avoided since yesterday's show, I've avoided it so much today, is really the million-dollar question. Do I think that this lawsuit is going to fly? And the answer to that is probably not. It has a couple of fatal flaws. And again, I've read through all the amicus briefs. I've read the lawsuits itself. I've talked to some people who are much smarter than me. Okay. I'm not a smart guy, so hopefully I'm wrong. Do I think that it can delay? Absolutely. And that is, if that happens, then that's wonderful news, because that means that other lawsuits will have time to percolate. They'll have time to gather more evidence. That's really what the Texas lawsuit wants to accomplish, is to buy time for the other lawsuits to work its way through. Is this going to overturn the election, as the left likes to call it, or is it going to correct it in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia? Probably not. And I'm not saying that as like, oh, this is just terrible news. I'm telling you, I just want everybody to have a realistic expectation. This is a constitutional question, and therefore it's not, you know, the best case scenario that people are hoping for is that the Supreme Court will say, okay, so let's just wipe those electors clean. This brief will not change those states. Best case scenario is that it nullifies them. Then we have a whole other challenge of, there's a lot more work to do beyond that. But one thing this suit can do is it can delay. And I would put that at about 50-50. There's about a 50-50 chance that tomorrow, or, you know, obviously at the latest Monday, that it could, the Supreme Court could compel a hold on states to select the electors and buy time for the other lawsuits to work their way through the process. That would be, I think there's about a 50-50 chance of that. So somebody asked, what are some of the fatal flaws? So the biggest fatal flaw, and this is one that it's kind of disappointing, is that they only went after those four states. These weren't the only four states, folks, that did what they're claiming was done. Okay. They're claiming that these states, through bureaucracies, through the courts, and through the executive branch, and in some cases through improper legislation that should have been constitutional amendments instead of legislation, they're making various claims that basically they imposed, they use the coronavirus, the lockdowns, as a reason to impose extra constitutional rules and to basically open things up beyond what they were allowed to do. And this is true in all four states. This is true, but it's also true in a bunch of other states that aren't included in the lawsuit. Governor Steve Bullock in Montana pointed this out in his amicus brief. He said, look, we did it too. Okay. We went through and we opened it up. Okay. We said, look, whatever you want, you guys want ballots, we'll give you ballots. Okay. How many ballots you want? We were just as guilty. We were more guilty than these four states. Why didn't they come after us? Because Trump won it. And he's correct. And that is a fatal flaw of this particular lawsuit. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here. And I'm very, to be clear, that doesn't affect whether or not I think that they can, the Supreme Court can and will delay the electors from being selected on the 14th. But there's no chance, in my opinion, that this will overturn, as the left likes to say, or nullify, or whatever. This isn't going to change the results of the election. What it will and can do is allow for other opportunities for the results to be properly changed based upon more time to file the lawsuits, move them up the totem pole, so to speak, into the Supreme Court, have more hearings, talk to the legislators, find more evidence, get it presented out there, work on the understanding of the people, get people to get a better, more clear understanding of what really is going on. Okay. That can and should happen. And this won't, and Bullock's point will not affect that. But as far as overturning it, I don't see it. I don't see it. Bobcats, it's about the Constitution, then it will be about everything else. I think I agree. Do you think Trump is conscientious about what he says and how he says it? Who cares? No, he's not, usually. Okay? I mean, he says what he says, and that's one of the, and this is the problem with people who, like the person asking this question, is, you know, you want somebody who is, you say conscientious, what you mean is guarded, what you mean is non-transparent. Okay. You don't like the fact that if President Trump says something, he usually will just say it. Okay. If he feels like tweeting something, he'll just tweet it. He doesn't run it through a staff of, okay. So I need to, what's his name? Joe Biden. I'm stumbling like him. You know, Joe Biden, it's every single thing. I mean, they have to have it scripted. It has to be able to read it from a teleprompter, somebody else's words. Okay. Somebody else's words. President Trump, if you want to know when he's least comfortable talking, it's when he's reading somebody else's words. When he's just talking, when he's just tweeting, I mean, this is where he is sincere. This is where he's transparent. But again, to many on the left, they're like, oh my gosh, that's terrible. Why would we want a politician that doesn't lie to us? Yeah. But they have no evidence. The judges keep telling them that 50 suits thrown out now. Guys. I don't think, you know, that one, I won't attribute that to this person to being a child, because that's something that's the CNN talking point. So the Trump campaign has filed 4 lawsuits. They are working their way up through the system. The concept of suits getting thrown out. Look up the suits. I'm not going to do the research for you. Look up the suits. You will find that the first 28 suits that were quote unquote thrown out, they were thrown out for standing and were filed before the election. Okay. When people say, oh, this, you know, the Trump is, these are Trump, Trump suits that are getting thrown out. They are not. They aren't. OK, okay? Stop watching Fox News. Stop watching CNN. Stop watching MSNBC. Do your own research. Think for yourselves. Stop letting mainstream media control your thoughts. 50 suits thrown out. That's idiotic, okay? That is literally stupid for you to say that. So don't. Get the facts. And then come on the show and talk. Talk through it. Thank you, John Michael. God bless you as well. And God bless America for sure. Let's see. Kevin Trust said she said was three Jenna Ellis. Technically, there was four. Most cases dismissed. That's not true. There's currently 270 last count, 270 cases that are filed regarding election results. That's just pertaining to the presidential election, not even pertaining to the lower down ballot elections. So when you say most cases dismissed, you're saying that there's over 135 have been dismissed. So, but again, like I said, go to CNN. They'll take care of you. They'll coddle you. They'll make you feel better about yourself. What else? Okay, stop. Every time my wife tells me all the time, it's just, I like educating trolls. And it's something that's, as she puts it, it's not fair to the rest of the audience that actually wants to hear what's really going on versus just hearing me correcting these people who come on these shows, who spend their days, you know, they want to gaslight. They want to make people feel like they're wrong, that they were, you know, erroneous in their own judgment, that their eyes are lying to them. But I enjoy it too much. So I do need to stop. Just not even look at the chat. Don't look. It just comes flying at me sometimes, though. Supreme Court tossed out a case trying to stop Pennsylvania from certifying election. Absolutely, Fred says. That is true. And that was correct. And as I said last week, if you watch the shows, I said that that case had a 0% chance of making it through. Okay, is referring to the case filed by Mike Kelly and Sean Parnell that, you know, tried to overturn the results of the Pennsylvania election based upon strong merits. But there was, again, that one had a fatal flaw as well. That fatal flaw, and it's what the state Supreme Court said, was that if they really wanted to complain about it, they would have done that before. You know, they had months. Months since the coronavirus lockdowns were changing, you know, the bureaucrats were writing more loopholes, so to speak, changing dates, going extra constitutionally against the will of the voters for the sake of coronavirus. Yeah, they should have filed it back then. Instead, they waited. And that's, I'm not suggesting that's why the Supreme Court shot it down. The state Supreme Court cited that. The Supreme Court itself, there's a very compelling case that says that, you know, it just so happens that it was the day after Ken Paxton filed his Texas lawsuit. Is it possible that they simply did not want to, they being the Supreme Court, did not want to press that case knowing that the bigger case was coming? That is definitely possible. And the reason, the evidence behind that is the fact they did not give a reason for why they were not allowing the injunction on the Pennsylvania results. So it is possible that that's the case. But either way, I mean, whether that's the case or not, I still, you know, you're right. That one did get shot down. And again, we predicted that. We said that it was going to get shot down last week. Okay. John Michael says SCOTUS, the declined PA case, is that indicative of their not wanting to weigh in on this? Very possible. Okay. Question two, does SCOTUS have the authority? Absolutely. Should they? No. I've fought against judicial supremacy for a long time, but in this case, it's there. When the states have autonomy in the Federation. So you stop it, John Michael, saying he's ignorant. You're obviously not ignorant. So we'll address those questions. Number one, as SCOTUS declined PA case, is that indicative of their not wanting to weigh in on this? It is definitely possible that's the case. And if, you know, what are their druthers? Their druthers are that they don't have to weigh in on something that affects the other two branches. They don't. They don't want to participate in an election. This will be their legacy. How they vote on this will negate anything they've done before and anything they do going forward. They will, if the election is overturned. They would rather not, for the most part. But they are Supreme Court justices who have sworn an oath to the Constitution. And I take them at their word. Even the ones on the left, I take them at their word. They may not interpret the Constitution correctly most of the time, the ones on the left. But I do believe that they won't shirk their responsibility based solely on, oh, I don't want to touch this one. Okay. But with that said, it needs to be compelling. It definitely, whatever cases they take, whatever cases they rule on, it has to be a compelling one. Is that the Texas case? I would have said no if it wasn't for the fact that everybody's getting involved. Okay, on both sides, 19 states have joined in. 106 members of the House of Representatives have filed an amicus brief. The state legislators in the Pennsylvania House itself have filed an amicus brief. There are, you have other governors for and against that are filing amicus briefs. They have to weigh in on it. They have to. So do they want to? No. Will they? Absolutely. One way or the other, they're going to weigh in on this. Question two, do they have the authority? Yes. Again, you know, the judicial branch was supposed to be the weakest of the two branches, but or the three branches rather, but, you know, you had the co-equal legislative and executive branch with the judicial branch, pardon me, the judicial branch essentially being there to call balls and strikes, to sort through any challenges, not just between them, the two branches in the federal government, but also between the federal and the state governments. That was the intent. Let's try to figure out what, you know, how do we maintain the republic? How do we maintain limited government federalism? That was the original intent of how the Supreme Court was pulled together. Unfortunately, it has become much more of a, you know, the courts rule everything. They've gone from what should be the slightly less powerful of the three branches to being the most powerful. But in this case, it does help us. Okay, it does. So I'll complain about it after we win the election. Okay. Very easy to call names. What do you think of Trump's? Okay, I'm done with the guy. It's, you know, use a real name if you're going to get insulting. Whose case do you see making an impact? That's a great question. Sydney's, Lynn Woods, Jenna's, Giuliani's. I have no idea. I really don't. And that's not for lack of trying. We don't know what we don't know yet. And that's the important part. Some of this will not come out until discovery. Okay. And then we'll know a lot more. But to pass judgment on which cases have the most merit, we haven't seen the evidence. Keep in mind, the Texas case, this is a civil suit that's based on, you know, constitutional interpretation, which is basically there's no evidence. They have to go based upon, well, I mean, it's not that there's no evidence. All the evidence are known facts. So, you know, they don't have to demonstrate. You're not going to see them calling in Dominion voting systems, okay, for example. The other lawsuits, you will, and we will see how they play out. But until we have discovery where they basically show the defendants their cards and show the court, then we will not know which one may work. I just think that one of them or multiple of them will win. And that's why this case is extremely important, because it can buy them more time. Da, 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 da. Let's see. Wow, lots of good stuff in here. I'm trying to catch up, guys. Bear with me. Daniel75 asks a hypothetical. Do you feel that Trump will be viewed as a failure if not reelected? If Trump is not reelected, he will go down in history as as hands down, by far, not even close, the greatest single term president of all time. And that's objectively speaking. We just signed what is fourth Middle East peace deal. It's more than every other president in the United States history combined. You don't get Middle East peace deals dropping like flies like he has. The economy. Oh, don't even get me started. Yes, he will not be viewed as a failure. But then again, he probably won't lose. I'm still at 90% that he's going to win, guys. What will Trump do if Supreme Court rules against him? Nothing. People wonder if he's going to do this, do that. He may. I shouldn't say nothing. I just don't think that he will. I think that if the Supreme Court, and again, to be clear, if the Supreme Court rules against him, not just in this case, but in all the cases, okay? It's not like a Supreme Court drops something tomorrow and Trump's going to run away. He will fight to the bitter end. He will fight all the way through. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Insurrection Act. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, I would be for it. Garland. Oh, yeah. So that's a good one. Garland Favorito. I hope I'm saying his name right. Garland Favorito's testimony. Definitely look it up. Good point, Chrissy. What about a military option? Yeah. Well, I don't want to speculate on stuff. Not like that. I don't want civil war. None of us should want civil war. Is it possible? Could this be a revolution? What does a civil war look like when there's no geographic boundaries? Is it going to be fought physically? Are people going to pick sides? Rush yesterday morning was talking about secession. I mean, things are getting crazy. Yeah, we don't know. I mean, folks, nothing is off the table. Nothing is impossible. If you would have gone and interviewed anybody, I don't care, the smartest, most brilliant political pundits in America, lawmakers, average people, if you would have asked them 11 months ago, hey, do you think that, what do you think the chances are that a major American city will vote to completely defund their police departments? Nobody would have said, oh yeah, there's a chance it could happen. They would have all said, it's never going to happen. That's ridiculous. That's stupid. Get out of my face. Why would you even ask that? And yet it happened. If you would have said, ask these same people, hey, do you think that if you have a disease that has, you know, about a 99.57% recovery rate, do you think that they will use that as a predicate to lock down the entire country to the point that there's mass destitution, that suicide rates skyrocket, drug overdoses, that people will be forced to close down their businesses? 110,000 restaurants are closed that are not coming back. I'm not talking about the ones that are just closed temporarily. 110,000 restaurants gone forever over a disease that has amongst children who, you know, everybody says, oh, you gotta wear your mask to save the children. 99.997% recovery rate. You tell the people the facts in January of this year, and they would have thought you'd be stupid to think that any government would be willing to destroy itself, to harm its own people as it has. I'm not one who is like, oh, you know, the coronavirus needs no attention. It does. I think it does. Okay. And I think that people should have the right to wear a mask. I will defend anybody's right to wear a mask if they choose. Just don't make me wear one. Don't make anybody who doesn't live in fear. Don't make us wear one. Okay. If you want to impose certain restrictions, as they have many times, on how businesses can operate, great. I don't agree with that. But at least it's something. Don't shut them down. But again, I digress. Point being is that we don't know what's going to happen. Will America be here all the way through to the end of 2021? I don't know. Nobody knows. Things are crazy, folks. Read your Bibles. It's the best advice I can give you. Pray. Read your Bibles. I'm not saying, oh, this is the end times. This is the end times. But it might be the end times. Rand Pat, reading this is a long one, so I'm reading this just off the, hopefully it's not bad. It says, when you vote, a piece of paper comes out and you can verify that it says the correct thing. And then you hand that in and they count that. It makes sure it matches the computer, which it always does. So, okay, let's talk about that. I've never talked about that one because there was a study, and this was not a study, I should say. This was a testimony before Congress in January of this year, where they had this expert. I forgot his name. And keep in mind, this guy was an expert for the Democrats. You know, he was saying, look, here's the biggest problem is that you can tell people to check their, to verify their votes. And they don't. They never do. Okay. Because they're so used to, if I say this and I push print, that it's going to print out what I told it to print out. He had suggested, he made the strong recommendation that he said, you could fix this by just changing the wording on the machines. Say, please verify that none of, please check, look at your paper ballot and verify that none of your selections were changed. He said, guys, if you do that, it shoots up from 10% people checking up to 70% of people will check. Because, oh, wait, you mean there's a potential that it could be changed? Let me look at this. He said, that's all you got to do, folks. And you will have people will look at their ballots more than the 9.4% that actually do, even though they're told, look at your ballot and verify it. The Democrats shot that notion down. Why? Because they knew it would work. That alone is anecdotal evidence. They knew something. They knew. Why would you? It's like, hey, guys, you just change the wording on it. It's really easy. We've got 9 months to do it. Okay. Just change this sentence to say this sentence, and it will remove the potential for voter fraud. And Democrats were like, we'll take that under advisement. Move along. But you don't hear about this stuff on CNN. You don't. Yeah. Sorry, guys. It's too much in the chat. Too many. And I appreciate that. It's not that I will go back and read a lot of them. And I may even reach out to some of you. But yeah, I can't keep up with all of that. You guys argue amongst yourselves. Look, let's get back to the bottom line on this. They're going to tell you, they are already telling you, that the president is trying to overturn the election results. We are trying to correct the initial fraudulent election numbers. That's it. And nobody should oppose that. Okay. Nobody. You voted for Joe Biden, great. You should hope that they look into this so that it can demonstrate to us stubborn people, whatever you want to call us, demonstrate to us that, yeah, your guy did lose. I mean, they should want to rub this in their face instead of saying, guys, don't investigate it. There's no evidence. You know, let's just assume it. Okay. Let's just move on. You know, before they were saying, well, we've got to move on because we need to be able to have the transition needs to get started. Well, okay. So then after the transition got started, now they're like, oh no, we got to move on because this is just tearing us apart. Oh, you know, these Trump supporters, they just hurt my feelings every time they say that Joe Biden's not really going to be the president. He is. I promise. Stop. Just say, look, all right, fine. When a Democrat comes out and says, fine, you guys challenge this. Let's look into it. Let's lay it out on the table. We are sure that Joe Biden won. So we're going to allow you to prove your case. We're not going to continue to block you from proving that there was massive voter fraud. Instead, we want the will of the people to come through versus the gaslighting that they're doing today. Nothing is being overturned because there's nothing to overturn. We're trying to determine what were the accurate results of the 2020 election, because there is a ton of evidence that the results that we've been told are not the accurate results. If you disagree with my premise, great. That's your prerogative. But it's not wrong. I mean, I haven't said anything that is inaccurate. There are challenges. The election results are being challenged. Address it. Instead of trying to gaslight, instead of going on these shows and saying, oh, you guys need to accept it. You guys, we think it's cheating. And you guys say we have to accept it. So you're saying we have to accept that it's cheating instead of saying, let's find out. I don't think there was. If you say, look, I don't think there was any cheating, but let's at least look at the evidence. You say, oh, but the courts. Okay, great. Then I'll say, great, the courts. Now, then stop telling me to not talk about it. Because it's just the courts, right? Nothing you say can overcome the fact that this election is contested, that it's not baseless to say that there's evidence. And nothing is being overturned. Period. Ugh. Fighting. People fighting in the chat. Again, Apple Podcasts. We need subscribers. That's how we move up in the rankings. For a short time, wasn't long, but for a short time, we were actually number 6 in Greece. Crazy stuff. Oh, darn it. I was going to try to get pronounce the word for hello in Greek. That's twice now that I've messed that one up. Don't let them get away with the false narrative. If you see headlines, if you see people talking about and using the word overturn, tell them, no, we're just trying to correct the election. We're correcting it. Okay. Or you could say, look, we just want to investigate. We want to determine what's real. Why would you try to stop us from determining what is real? Because when you try to stop people from determining what is real, that is called gaslighting. If they feel one way, if we feel that there was massive voter fraud, and all the evidence that we've seen points to that, and you tell us that there was no evidence, that's gaslighting. And it's no offense, it's ignorant, at the very least, and potentially evil for you to do that. It's called trust and verify. I like that a lot. Old Reagan concept. Don't know if he was talking, probably trolling, but it is true. Trust and verify. We do. We do trust the election results were fraudulent. So let's verify that. According to Phil Beaven, who's commenting, replying to Matthew W. Brown, influencing the Electoral College is the only real option. To think that Trump will accept the ruling of Scott, if it goes against him, he'll just add it to the ever-growing list of co-conspirators. So, again, I will disagree a bit because, and I'm not saying, again, if they rule tomorrow against the Texas lawsuit, that's not the end of the Supreme Court battle. The Supreme Court battle is just now getting started. Got started this week. That's it. Now we're getting going. So let's wait and see what happens with Rudy's and Jenna's cases, with Lynn Wood's cases, with Sidney Powell's cases, with the dozens of others that are out there. We don't know what's going to make it through. We don't know who's going to be given standing. We don't know what's going to be docketed in time and what's not. We do know that with the Texas case, this potentially buys us time. If it is successful, it's just a delay. That's the most realistic expectation we can have as far as success. It's not to overturn anything. It's just to delay it so that more actions can be taken to get to the real and lawful results, which is what every American should want that. Every American should want that. And I mean, if you want us to just accept it in spite of the evidence, you're not going to have a happy country under your President Joe Biden. By golly, we're not the right people to not be happy. Okay, that's not a threat. I'm just saying, you want us happy. It's not to say that we can't be against something. I mean, we were happy people under Barack Obama. We protested. We fought. But you didn't see buildings burning down, being burnt down by the Tea Party. You didn't see all this hatred and animosity that you on the left, have had towards President Trump. You didn't see that under President Obama, because most of us thought that we lost. He won. We didn't think he should have, but he did, and we accepted that. You want us to accept, if you think Joe Biden's president, you think that he won, then you should hope that they investigate and prove that he too did legitimately win. Because what the Tea Party did, thinking that Barack Obama probably won and we need to try harder next time, that was positive activism. You don't want to see how we'll respond if we think that we were robbed, if we think that the Constitution, which we've sworn an oath to defend, that the Constitution was subverted by foreign powers, by Dominion voting systems. Oh, no. You, if you are a Democrat, leftist, whatever, you should be hoping, begging for the Supreme Court to take up all the cases, to present all the evidence, and to make a very strong declarative statement one way or the other as to whether or not this election was rigged or not. And if they say that it's not, fine. We'll disagree, but at least we can move forward. This whole stuff of trying to move forward now, trying to block things, trying to block investigations, trying to suppress evidence. You do not want to do that. That's your worst case scenario. I better stop. Lord willing, we will be back very soon with another episode. Oh, one more thing. Sorry. Forgot to mention. A lot of people have been asking, what's a good time? I need to be more consistent. Can't be one of those things where I just throw up a show whenever I feel like it every day. Some shows come in like 8 a.m., noon, 4. This one's on at midnight. Okay. Midnight Pacific time. Gosh, is it really midnight? Crap. I'm sorry about that. Didn't mean that. My bad. If you have a time, feel free to reach out to me. Go to NOQReport.com, knockreport.com. Hit contact. That'll send me an email and tell me, hey, you know, here's some time slots that I'll be able to watch, or I'll be able to listen, you know, live. Show, of course, you can always watch the recording, so that's why I am so sporadic with when it is. But some people have been like, man, we want to be able to engage, we want to be able to comment, we want to know live. So I don't know if you're going to go on in the morning, evening, afternoon, whenever. So let's try to get it solidified. Lord willing, we will be back very soon with another episode. But in the meantime, you guys stay strong, stay safe, and God bless.